a 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
Just hear me out. You used up the public's goodwill with Sherry. They don't want to hear about you being involved with someone else who's not trustworthy. You have got to respect the people who voted for you.
Her ex-husband clearly had his own agenda. It shouldn't be difficult to prove that he's a liar.
And it's me, Ted.
I'm up in my office. Come up and I'll explain everything.
I have some documents that'll prove your innocence.
Jim, it's me. Are you alone?
Where are you? Chappelle ordered you back here.
I'm not coming back until I find your father. I just found out where Hector Salazar is. A small town in northern Mexico called Las Nieves. I'm sure Jack's taking Ramon there now.
You cannot go in there alone. Hector's gonna have an army down there.
Kim, I need to hear you promise me you're not gonna tell anyone you talk to me.
Be careful, Chase.
What are you doing, Jack?
Your brother tried to kill me on the plane! That is not what we talked about!
My brother, I'm so glad to see you.
What's going on? I don't understand.
I'll tell you in a minute. I promise. Good job, Jack. Come. We have a lot of work to do.
Poor Chappelle. Interrogation is funny. Let's go.
Talk to me, you son of a bitch. Almeida, what are you doing here?
Get him out of the room.
Why?
He's in.
What are you talking about? Who's in?
Jack.
Ariel and I have been working with Jack. We've been trying to get him back undercover with the Salazars. That signal means he's back in.
I don't understand.
Look, I'll explain everything. Right now, we gotta call the president.
The following takes place between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m.
So, you're telling me that Bauer's been playing a game with us all this time?
It's no game, Ryan.
But he's back under with the Salazars, and they trust him again.
That's what we're counting on, yeah.
I'm your boss, Tony. You should have come to me first.
Look, Ryan, you'll understand everything once I've explained it to the president. After that, if you feel like I've acted inappropriately, you can do what you gotta do.
I will. Count on it.
The president's coming in the line.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Almeida.
Mr. President, this is Tony Almeida.
Director of CTU Los Angeles.
Mr. Almeida.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. President.
You're also on with my chief of staff, Wayne Palmer. I was told this is an urgent matter.
Yes, sir, it is. It's also fairly complex, so I'll try to keep it as clear and concise as I can.
Go on.
Sir, everything that's happened today, from the infected body at health services to Ramon Salazar's prison break, has been part of an elaborate sting operation.
Sting operation?
Yes, sir. Planned and executed by Jack Bauer, Agent Gael Ortega, and myself.
Elaborate, Mr. Almeida.
Jack Bauer wanted to fill you in on the situation himself, sir.
Jack Bauer is a fugitive from the law.
If you'll indulge me, sir, there's a video file you should see. It's on a designated CTU server. You can access the file with the passcode Delta 3 Delta 59.
Mr. President, the fact that you're reviewing this recording now means that I have successfully completed the first phase of a secret operation. Contrary to what you've been led to believe, the Salazars are not in possession of the Cordilla virus. The idea that they are is a lie which I promoted deliberately in order to achieve a more important goal. Please, sir, let me explain. About a month ago, I learned from a contact that a group of scientists from the Ukraine were trying to sell a weaponized virus on the open market. They were looking for a buyer with cash and credibility. I only managed to get their interest when I suggested the Salazars as potential buyers. As long as I could get the Salazars to agree, CTU would seize the virus as the sale took place. Our goal was to remove the virus stockpile from the marketplace. Because, Mr. President, it is without a doubt the most lethal threat that we have ever faced. But all of this hinged on me convincing the Salazars that I had switched sides. And the only way to gain their trust was to break Ramon Salazar out of prison. Mr. President, I'm sorry for deceiving you. But I assure you it was a benign deception. And I assume complete responsibility for my actions. Sir, if things went wrong, you would have been exposed personally, legally, and politically. And this was the only way I could see to avoid that risk. But now it's time for you to know the truth. And I'm asking you to allow CTU Director Almeida to coordinate an interdiction with the military so we can take possession of this virus and keep it from our enemies. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Keeping me in the dark on a matter of national security is inexcusable.
We were trying to protect you, sir.
I know what you were trying to do. And it was a mistake. And you and your colleagues will take responsibility for it when this is over.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Where's Bauer now?
In northern Mexico. He's setting up a meeting between the Salazars and the Ukrainians who are selling the virus.
When is this meeting expected to take place?
In the next few hours, sir. Mr. President, I'm requesting your permission to activate the interdiction plan.
Under the circumstances, I don't have a choice but to say yes, Mr. Almeida. But even if this plan works flawlessly, you haven't heard the last of it.
Palmer slams down the phone.
I don't like decisions being taken out of my hands.
Well, David, some decisions you want to keep as far away from as you can.
Not this decision. It's too important. Jack Bauer had no right to keep me out of the loop.
I disagree. Bauer protected you as he should have. Now, when this is all over, you're probably going to have to punish him for form's sake. But while you're punishing him, know this. He did do the right thing.
End of part one. 8:06. An operatives leave the briefing room of CTU.
Michelle. We need an extended network using Protocol 4, right? Thanks.
I'm not so sure this is going to work out well for you, Almeida.
Maybe not. But right now, I got to help Jack get this virus. And I don't need you looking over my shoulder, all right?
You work for me. You don't give orders, you take them.
Yeah. Except the president put me in charge of this particular operation. Now, if you object, give him a call. I may be wrong, but I didn't get the impression that he's in the mood for any bureaucratic squabbling today. Ryan, just let me do my job, all right?
Be watching.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Alicia Cuthbert as Kim Bauer, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, James Badge Dale as Chase Edmonds, and Dennis Haysbert as President Palmer. Created by Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. 8:07. And at the Salazar Ranch in Las Nieves, Hector brings a rehabilitated Jack face to face with Ramon, who pours himself a sobering coffee.
Are you ready to listen, Ramon?
All right. Tell me how the man who betrayed us is now our friend.
Bauer came to me with an opportunity.
An opportunity?
Yes. To make more money than we have ever dreamed of. Bauer found out about a virus that was coming in the market. These men who have it, they're from the Ukraine. They're scientists. All they want to do is to make their money and disappear.
How much are they asking?
100 million.
Al-Qaeda pays 10 times as much. North Koreans too. I mean, all the calls from all. I have the buyers all lined up. That's $1 billion.
How do you know this virus is real?
The Ukrainians gave us a demonstration. Bauer delivered one of the bodies to health services in L.A.
He used it to scare the Americans into letting you go.
The scientists, where are they now?
They're not far from here. I'm supposed to call their representative, a man named Michael Amador, in the next hour.
What's in it for you, Jack?
$15 million. Ramon, we don't like each other. But it doesn't mean we can't do business together. I need your capital. And you need my access to the virus.
I would never have thought that Jack Bauer was for sale. And I'm not that sure now.
A few years ago, my wife was killed because of my job. My daughter's never been the same since. This last year, well, you know what I went through to bring you in. What'd I get for it? A pat on the back, in the end, a demotion, and a heroin habit. I'm tired of putting my ass on the line for nothing. I'm done putting my ass on the line for nothing.
Hector lays his gun on the table before Ramon.
If you don't want to go through with it, blow him away. But just remember, you're blowing away $1 billion.
Ramon stares murderously at Jack, cocks the pistol and aims. Hector knocks his arm away just in time.
Are you crazy?
You are crazy for trusting him. Give me the gun.
No.
Why are you to refuse me? I run our business, not you.
If not for me, me! You wouldn't even be here.
Like I said, I have to call him within an hour. These men are not going to wait around. There's too much at stake. You can either shoot me or let me make the call. But you better decide quickly.
8:15. Almeida directs CTU.
Jack's transponder pinpoints his location somewhere east of Las Nieves, just south of the border.
A map of Las Nieves dominates an overhead screen.
Satellite photos show that it's some sort of ranch or farm. Our units will hold a perimeter of 10 miles. All communication will be on a designated frequency, and nobody makes a move unless it goes through me first, all right? Chloe, I want you and Chase to provide tactical assistance. Where is Chase?
We're not sure. Chappelle ordered him back over an hour ago.
All right, let me know when he gets back here. Now, let me make this perfectly clear. For the next few hours, all of our resources are dedicated to helping Jack Bauer intercept this virus. Any questions? All right, let's get back to work.
Michelle throws Tony a look of mistrust, while Kim considers Chase and whether to tell Tony.
Tony, I spoke to Chase.
When?
About an hour ago. He is not coming back to CTU.
What are you talking about? I thought Chappelle gave him a direct order.
He ignored it. He still doesn't really know what's going on. None of us did until you spoke to the president. Chase still thinks my father was captured by the Salazars.
And he thinks he's going in to rescue Jack.
Yes. He knows about Las Nieves. He's on his way there right now, probably by plane.
How the hell did he find out about Las Nieves?
He said he followed a lead.
Damn it, if he goes in there, he's going to blow Jack's cover and we're going to lose his virus.
I know.
All right, maybe I can get a hold of him.
Tony, you won't be able to reach him.
Why not?
It's gone dark.
8:16, and Jack writhes on a mattress from heroin pangs. The door is unlocked, and a guard stands aside as Claudia struts in with a tray of food and water. She angrily avoids his gaze.
Hector thought you might be hungry.
The guard gone, she slaps Jack across the face.
Look at you. You're pathetic. You're still a junkie, aren't you? That's the only real thing about you. It makes me sick to think that I ever believed you. You said you'd take me away from here, remember? Do you remember, Jack?
Yes, I remember.
There was one small thing you forgot to mention. You were a cop. But even that wouldn't matter if you'd meant half the things you said to me.
I meant everything I ever said to you.
Do you think I am stupid? You were doing a job. My compliments, you did it very well. But you know the saddest thing, Jack? You couldn't even be true to that. You betrayed Hector and Ramon. You betrayed me. And now you betray your own people. God knows there are times when I despise Hector, but at least he is true to himself. He knows who he is. You? You're a man without a soul.
Does Hector know about us?
Do you think I'd be alive if he did? Do you know where he is right now? He's with Ramon, deciding whether you should live or die. But you sit here shaking like a leaf. You need a fix, don't you? There's plenty here, Jack. You want me to get you a fix? Is that what you want?
No.
Jack, you were a man once. What happened to you?
She cups his face with both her hands and stares mournfully into his eyes. He pushes her away, and as she leaves, he doubles over on the bed as pain racks his heroin-withdrawn body.
All right, I'm sending this photo to you right now.
Okay.
Now remember, Miguel, this guy's acting on his own authority, so make sure you tell Gutierrez that he's armed and dangerous.
Okay, I'll confirm with you.
Yeah. All right, good.
Tony gets up too fast, and dizziness crumples him to the ground. He slowly tries to ease himself back up, clutching at his spinning head. He props himself up on his elbow and rubs his eyes with his hand, then grabs at his desk and hauls himself to his feet. He quickly scans the area beyond his office windows for sign of a reaction, but no one noticed. He takes a few deep breaths and marches out of his office and down the metal stairs as if everything was just as it always was. 8:20. Tony and Michelle's office.
I just spoke to my contact in Mexican intelligence. Says he can get a man to Las Nieves in 20 minutes. An agent named Rafael Gutierrez.
Won't local police be quicker?
Oh, if we bring them in, we might as well send a telegram to the Salazars that Chase is on his way.
What about our Delta teams?
No, it's gonna take them over an hour. It'd be way too late.
We're analyzing an aerial map of Las Nieves. There's only one landing strip.
He won't use it. Landing strip's too exposed, especially if it's the only one.
All right, run a topographical overlay. Find the most likely landing area besides the airfield.
Yes, David?
Have you seen or heard from Anne?
Not for some time. Why?
I can't reach her.
Is this about your health?
No, I'm concerned about her. She was pretty ripped up after the debate.
We're all pretty ripped up here, David. Listen, this allegation by Anne's ex-husband is no small bump in the road. Now, I've been thinking about this, and there may be no way to defend ourselves against Keeler's accusation that Anne was involved in something illegal.
You have to do better than that, Wayne.
I know you like to deal with things head on, but I think the best course of action for right now is to be evasive. So if the press brings this up, you make it clear that you're not going to answer any questions, that you're going to wait for all the facts to come in, as should they.
Well, you may be right, but in the meantime, I need you to find Anne. The reporters are going to be chasing her, and she's not up to this.
I'll put Perry on it.
Thank you.
8:22. Anne Packard arrives by lift at the 14th floor of a deserted office building, crosses a stylish corporate hallway, and nervously approaches Ted's veneered wooden door.
Hello, Anne. Thanks for coming. I just wanted to have a chance to apologize face-to-face for what I did. I don't know what I was thinking.
Where are the letters, Ted?
They're right here.
As Ted reaches into his leather briefcase, he disturbs his suit jacket resting on a chair, revealing a loaded gun. Fear shoots through Anne's eyes.
For God's sakes, Anne. It's not meant for you.
No, for whom then?
Just take the letters and go.
Ted, you're not thinking about killing
yourself. Oh, no, it's for self-defense.
Don't lie to me.
Look, you got what you came for. So go. You don't need to be here for this.
Ted, at least talk to someone. I know some good doctors.
High-priced phonies who are going to talk me out of doing what I should have done 5 years ago? No, thank you.
She glances again at the gun poking out from beneath the jacket.
I'm a failure, Anne. Everything I touch goes bad. It's just the way it is. Don't shed any tears for me because I don't deserve it. Just go.
Anne rushes for the gun, but Ted clutches it from her grip and points it at his own head.
Don't come any closer.
Let me call someone.
No!
Please.
You're a great woman, Anne.
much better than I ever deserved. And I'm sorry I let you down, but just get the hell out of here. I said go!
Dad, it doesn't have to be like this.
No? How can it be? Can we be 25 again?
What you did was wrong, but you made it right. And that means something. That means you can start again. People do it all the time, Ted. Why not you?
He stares blankly, thinks it over, and finally smiles as he lowers the gun from his temple.
You're really something. I believe if I gave you a few more minutes, you might actually be able to talk me out of doing it.
He raises the gun again, and she grabs at it. He throws her to the floor and stands back, the gun still at his head.
Ted.
No!
...8:25. End of part two.
The president can expect updates directly from me.
How can we call him?
Every 15 minutes.
I'll let him know.
Yeah. All right, we'll be in touch.
Tony collapses dizzily on his desk, witnessed by a concerned Michelle.
You should be in the hospital.
I'm fine. What do you got?
Briefing package on Las Nieves. Alternate landing sites that Chase might use instead of the airstrip.
Is there something wrong?
Just worried about you, that's all.
Uh-huh. What is it?
It's not the time.
Michelle. What is it?
This whole thing that you've been planning with Jack.
Look, I'm sorry I couldn't tell you. Jack planned and he wanted absolute secrecy, and I agreed.
You don't have to explain.
No, I want to explain. Listen to me. I trust you with my life. But this job is what it is.
Michelle nods unconvincingly, retreats to the doorway, then swings round in a whirlwind of mistrust.
Jack said he came up with a plan a month ago. Is that how long you've known?
Something like that. Yeah.
I had no idea. You were hiding something from me. But that's my problem.
Upset, Michelle taps her way out of Tony's office. 8:32. Wayne speeds along a busy corridor and into Palmer's L.A. district office.
Just got off the phone with CTU. Bauer's near a place called Las Nieves. Delta teams are scrambling now.
When does CTU expect to intercept the virus from the Ukrainians?
As soon as Bauer gives them a signal. Tony Almendez will be giving us an update every 15 minutes.
Good.
It's Wayne Palmer. Yeah. Yeah, hang on. David, it's Anne. She says it's important.
Hello, Ann?
David? It's Ted.
He just committed suicide.
Oh, Ann, I'm so sorry. Are you all right?
Not really, no. I was with him when he did it.
What were you doing?
He asked to see me, David. He said that he was sorry and that he wanted to make things right. And I...
Did you call the police?
Yes, yeah, they're here now.
What can I do to help?
Well, there's something that I need to give you, something Ted wanted me to give you.
What's that?
It's letters that exonerate me from any connection to the falsified research data. That's why I was here in the first place, because he wanted to give them to me.
And you have these letters?
Yes, I do. So I'll be in the clear, and hopefully it puts an end to the negative fallout for you as well.
That's secondary to your well-being.
I'll be okay.
I'll come over as soon as I'm done here.
Good. I'll see you then.
Anne fumbles with a bundle of letters in her hands. Palmer trudges back towards Wayne with all the slowness of a man deep in thought.
Is everything all right?
Ted Packard just committed suicide, and he did it in front of Anne.
Oh, my God, David, I'm so sorry. Listen, I don't mean to sound callous, but what was she doing with him?
He wanted to give her letters, which apparently proves she's innocent.
You serious?
She's going to bring him over in a little while.
Well, I guess that's some sort of silver lining. Listen, David, I know I've been somewhat hard on Anne. But she cleaned up her own mess, and I respect that. Maybe she's learning what it takes to be in this game after all.
8:35. Back at Las Nieves, the Salazars weigh up Jack's fate.
Why do we even need Bauer?
Because he made the first contact with Ukrainian scientists. They want to deal with him. They trust him.
You trust him too? The man who pretended to be our friend and then put me in prison.
And got you out again.
He has an angle, Hector. Count on it.
Of course he does. $50 million. It's a big angle. You saw him. He's a shell. There's nothing left. No future, no family. And a habit he can't beat. He's not the same man who fooled us before.
So sure of that?
You know we have people in the American agencies. In the military, too. All of them. Every one of them confirmed. The prison break was real. Bauer is a fugitive from his own country. If they hadn't wanted you alive, they would have killed him. That's a fact.
So, if we go through with this, what happens afterwards? We just forget what Bauer did to us and let him walk away?
Do you think I could forget what he did to us? As soon as we have the virus, we kill him.
Now, that's the first thing you said that I like. Now, Bauer's clever. Fully expected.
What can he do? Alone, surrounded.
Don't underestimate him.
It's me who's been underestimated, Ramon. But I will earn your respect. When we make more than money in one day than we've made in both of our lifetimes. But you don't have all night to decide. This man, Amador, is waiting for Bauer's call.
Ramon reaches for a walkie-talkie.
Bring Bauer in.
What have you decided, Ramon?
I'm not sure yet.
Thomas shadows Jack along a marbled hallway and into a richly furnished lounge towards the waiting Salazars. Jack stands confident and defiant, even suave in his new leather jacket, obliging Ramon to come to him.
I don't trust you, and I never will. All I want right now is to spill your blood. But I won't. Not yet, anyway. Out of respect for my little brother, I am willing to play this out a little longer. So make your call.
Amador won't be at the number he gave me for another 15 minutes.
Oh, wait.
You won't be sorry.
Jack rests his heroin-racked body on a chair and exchanges searching glances with Hector behind Ramon's back. 8:41, Tony, back at CTU.
Tony, it's Rafael from Las Nieves.
You patch over here.
Yeah, Rafael.
Yeah, I'm at the landing area now.
There's no sign of any incoming craft.
What size team do you have?
What team? It's just me.
You gotta be kidding me.
Look, this is a corrupt area. Salazar's got a lot of influence here. We don't know how far it reaches. Miguel wanted me to do this on my own.
All right, well, you're going to have your hands full, because Chase is one of our more capable agents.
All right. How do you want me to approach?
Well, don't surprise him. Make sure he knows you're working with CTU.
Hang on, I hear something.
Rafael leans on the bonnet of his car and observes an approaching plane through his binoculars.
Yeah, this must be him.
It's a twin-engine engine prop on approach.
He's landing now.
8:43. Chase touches down in northern Mexico.
You have the photo we sent you?
Yeah.
Make sure it's him. Be careful. We'll keep this line open.
Good.
As the aeroplane taxis to a halt in the Mexican desert, Rafael downloads Chase's image onto a laptop. He checks around for any approaching cars and makes his way quietly through the dry brush and scrub. Meanwhile, Kim listens anxiously by Tony's side as events unfurl, watched closely by a sympathetic Michelle.
All right. I'm moving in.
All right, be careful. He's not expecting company.
Rafael runs up to the quiet plane.
Edmonds! Edmonds, I'm here to help.
He opens the door.
Edmonds! Edmonds!
He shines a torch and clambers inside.
Gutierrez, talk to me.
He's not here. Plane's empty.
He must have spotted you.
Stand by. I'll call you back.
Yeah, all right.
8:44. Rafael scouts the surrounding area.
Edmonds! Edmonds! Edmonds!
As he opens his car door, Chase moves in with his gun.
Wait! Take it easy!
Who the hell are you?
My name is Rafael Gutierrez, Mexican intelligence. Check my pocket, my left pocket. Check it.
Get on your knees. He's behind your head. You lock your fingers.
All right.
How do you know my name?
Your boss sent me to find you. Tony Almeida, CTU. His access code is 3-Tango-664.
What's he want?
He wants you to call him. I've got a phone right here. He says it's a matter of life or death about Jack Bauer.
Give me your phone. Thank you. Almeida.
It's Edmund.
Listen, Chase.
You're trying to get me to come back. You're wasting. Chase!
Rafael is shot and killed.
Chase, what's going on? Chase, can you hear me?
Chase speeds away in Rafael's four-track.
Tony, you there?
What's going on?
The guy you said is dead. The sniper took him out. We're being pursued.
More and more cars appear from the scrub and surround him. He zooms past the plane and crashes into a deep ditch.
Chase!
The gunman closes in on Chase, dazed and injured.
Chase!
Chase reaches in vain for the cell phone. Kim listens in, sick with worry. 8:47. End of part 3. 51. Outside Palmer's district office.
Dr. Packard?
I'm supposed to see the president.
Follow me, ma'am.
An aide shows her the way, and she drifts mournfully in.
Come.
They kiss tenderly, but briefly.
And how are you holding up?
Okay.
Are those the letters?
She hands Wayne a leather-bound briefcase. He scrutinizes the documents and letters. Meanwhile, Palmer comforts her, still shaken by Ted's suicide.
Oh, this is good, David. This is very good. This clears up everything.
Yes, it does.
Once these get authenticated, we'll take them to the press. You'll be off the hook and Keeler should be hoisted right up on it.
Yeah, I thought you'd be pleased.
And listen, I'm sorry about Ted. I really am. And if there's anything that I can do, anything at all, please just let me know.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Wayne leaves them discreetly alone. For a lingering moment, Anne seems unable to speak.
Anne?
I'm all right, David. I'm going to be all right, but something came out of this, and it was suddenly so clear to me.
What was clear?
I don't know how to say this except to just say it. I think we need to end things.
After what's just happened, after what's been happening all day, I can understand why you went some time apart.
David, it's not about time apart.
Oh, Dad,
and it's true, this day has been awful, but it just confirmed something that I've been feeling for a while. I can't live in your world. The things that people do to each other, the things they have to do in order to survive, I can't.
That's exactly why I need you.
You need someone who can stand beside you. Not someone who stands back and watches and maybe passes judgment on things she doesn't really understand. You are the finest man I have ever known. And Wayne, God bless him. He's just what you need, and I'm so glad you have him, but it's not for me.
They rest forehead to forehead for a moment, then kiss for the last time. In one swift action, she's gone.
Anne.
Alone, Palmer struggles with his emotions. 8:55. Back at the Salazar Ranch, Jack contacts Michael Amador by satellite phone.
Hello?
Michael, it's Jack Bauer. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jack. I'm glad you arrived safely.
Where are you?
You know I can't tell you that, Jack.
Okay, fine, then where do you want to meet?
I'll call you back in a few minutes. Give me the number you're calling from.
Okay, I'm on a satellite phone. One second. Number's 34221.
You'll hear from me soon.
Okay, good. You better have your money prepared.
Don't worry about that.
Jack is stunned to see Chase dragged in by Salazar's gunmen.
Came in by plane, just south of the town. He was with the Federale that they killed.
I know this man.
He's Bauer's partner.
Was he with anyone else?
No, just the Federale and him.
What the hell are you doing here?
Hey, shut up! If he's here, others will be here soon. We gotta get out of here. Tomas, make sure everything is ready. We're moving out of here now. Bauer's been lying to us all along.
That's not true. I had no idea he was coming down here.
You've been playing us for fools again.
Ramon, you're making a mistake. Hector, please. We can still do this deal. Don't let your brother piss away $1 billion.
Ramon, what if he's telling the truth? You keep hearing what you want to hear. This is a night. It's all been a night.
How do you know? Ramon, I swear to you, I'm not lying. Please, let's do this deal.
The hell is going on here, Jack?
Shut up, Chase. You should never have followed me down here.
You with them?
Yes, I'm with them.
Chase lays into Jack and smashes his watch against a pillar.
You say he's not with you?
Yes, that's right.
Then kill him.
Kill your partner.
You want me to kill him? Fine, I'll kill him. But we would be smarter to use him for information, and maybe even as a hostage.
No more clever talk. You keep saying you are on our side. Now prove it once and for all.
The brothers scrutinize him closely. Ramon holds out a gun. Jack takes it.
You should never come down here, Chase. You should listen to me.
Angry at his betrayal, Chase spits in his face. Jack calmly wipes his cheek, holds the gun at Chase's head, and pulls the trigger.
Very good, Jack.
We'll take him with us. Bar is right. Let's find out what he knows. Break him down. See if anyone came here with him. Eric. We'll go to a safe house. And we'll wait for Amador's call.
Ramon gestures for the return of the weapon, and Jack meekly slaps it back in his hand. Jack and Chase are bundled into a waiting four-track as the Salazars and their entourage quickly evacuate the ranch for a nearby safe house. Meanwhile, Kim frets over the perilous fate facing both the men in her life as Palmer reconciles the age-old conflict of love and duty.
Jack, shut up, Chase. You want to get through this, just shut up.
Jack rattles his watch next to his ear. It's broken. Jack shoots a glance back at Chase and contemplates the fallout of working without a transponder. Back at CTU, Gael informs Tony.
Tony, I don't know how, but the transponder in Jack's watch just went dead.
Did you try reset?
Yeah, nothing.
Damn it!
By the time the assault teams are in position, we'll have no idea where he is.
9 p.m. The end.